when the Durant came along in July, mm-hmm. I'll never forget the text message that you sent him, because him and Rich kept asking, "Is Steph okay?" And for people who watch this, you got to understand,
before he signed.
Yeah. Right. And it blew me away even.
Lead by Example with Bob Myers is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Lead by Example. I'm your host, Bob Myers.
That sounds good.
That sounds good, right? That's my introduction. That's a big thing. There's all these crazy lights in it now. Steph Curry's the guest. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
I don't think we've had a lot of, we've never done anything like this.
Never, no, none of all these this high level production. We've had some good conversations over the last 10 years, but
private ones.
Yeah.
I met you, what was that, your third year? Second year? What was your
in
first
between my second and third, yeah.
Yeah. What was the, I have my answer, but what's been the toughest part of the Steph Curry journey? Like even before NBA?
That's a good question in terms of, I don't know how you look at it, your life, because I think the beauty in how I see it is always trying to be in the moment. And so like every season of life you're in, the highs and lows, you feel them. Like you kind of live it hard in terms of, you know, what that experience is like, what lessons you learn, what adversity you go through, how you deal with success, how you deal with failure and all that. So when I look back, it's always hard to kind of rank,
sure,
you know, the experience is like, what's the hardest? Because even like right now in the present day, you these are hard.
Yeah.
Like, to me, obviously the perspective of how blessed we are in life to be doing this as a job and all that and family and all the opportunities you have, like there are certain challenges that you're facing now that to me are like, we really need to solve it. But, you know, injuries, season kind of around when I met you, when I was going through the ankle problems and stuff, where you get a taste of what it's like to play at this level. You understand how much you get fulfilled by it, how much you love the work, the challenges of trying to figure it out, but the injuries keep you off the court so consistently, so frequently, you start to doubt everything that you poured into your craft and like the cloud hanging over, will I even just be healthy enough to, you know, get my 2 feet on the floor and even give myself an opportunity to be like the player that I wanted to be. And that was over a 2 year kind of stretch off and on where a lot of dark days and a lot of patience, a lot of support from, you know, family, people that you trust, you know, and can kind of speak positivity and life into you, confidence into you, and gave me a great perspective for what's happened ever since, because I know like you know how fragile the game is, how fragile life is in terms of, you know, nothing's really guaranteed. So I have an immense level of gratitude for everything that's happened since.
I remember we were sitting there. I think you were spraining your ankle.
Just walking.
Yeah, I mean it was, which is crazy. It just, you never even see that, right? I don't know if I've seen anybody.
The only thing I've seen before since.
Since.
I've seen people with like, you know, bad luck where you're landing on someone's foot or, you know, having a like, injury and all that. The one I remember is in San Antonio. That was the wildest one where I got a rebound or I got an outlet pass and I turned to go run and like it just basically went to go push off of my right foot.
Nobody within.
And then you just look back like, what? I felt like Forrest Gump without the big braces.
Yeah.
So it was weird. It was just a weird time.
How did you, I remember sitting there with you one time, I think we were at the Jackson Center and you couldn't practice and you had your leg in, you know, ankle and ice. And I had a thought, I said, this is not, we can't do this anymore. Cause remember you were playing and then getting hurt and then trying to, and because of you, who you are, you kept trying. And I remember going, we're done here. Like, this is, do you remember that or not? I don't know. You may remember it in a different way.
Well, the lockout year, because I had another surgery after that offseason, during that offseason. But that was kind of the year and a half kind of mark of how long I've been dealing with. And to your point, there was just rehab every day. It was nothing about basketball. It was just just me trying to get on, on the court and be available. And just how frustrating that was. I'm sure not only for me, obviously for you, for coach, for the team, like, is he playing? Is he not? How long is he going to be out? Is he not? And like trying to find any type of expectation or consistency on that front. But I remember going on the knife the year before that and then going on the knife the second time, which was crazy because you were part of that process with my dad, my agent, and the doctor. Like, there's three different outcomes that could come out of this. You're going to go under, and we're going to try to make the right call on whether it's just a cleanup or whether it's a reconstruction or whether there's some other intervention we can have. But these are the three options that we have. You're going to go under when you wake up.
Yeah.
We'll let you know, you know, what it looks like. That was a really
scary
experience for sure. But obviously, that's the part of the blessing of having people around you that you can trust to know what was going into that kind of decision and all that. And I woke up and it was the least invasive option that came up, base case scenario, which was a relief. But then that was that restarted the work that was going to be necessary to get through the recovery process, which was another 4 to 5 months, but it was different.
I remember sitting at Casa Del Mar. Same thing.
A spot. Like,
Post surgery. I think I said to you, I said, if you get out of this, which I think we all thought you would then, I think I said, like, can you work on leading this team? I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't remember much of what I tell you. But because remember early
sound
on?
Bites? I remember just your presence. Because, like, when we traded Monte and we were in Sacramento, I remember and Coach Jackson pulled me in the hallway. He was like, you're getting the keys to the team. I was like,
what is that?
All right. And, you know, he's passionate. Wanted, he's
boosting
the comments, but I didn't wasn't ready for the message at the time.
Yeah.
And then that was that summer, kind of the same vibe of not only, I mean, obviously that you need people to pour like a vision into you, I guess, in terms of like what you're capable of, what your full potential is, not just as, and then not just as a player, but as somebody that can impact the locker room in other different ways, impact the organization through leadership, through kind of walking into the accountability, what that means. And thankfully, I've heard this saying now, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. That was a very, you know, strong inflection point in my life because, you know, you realize you have to be yourself first and foremost, whatever your personality is. You were saying that you were trying to change like who I am, how I approach things, but to realize the opportunity that I had to not just be a great basketball player, but to, you know, again, I guess walk into a role of leadership that wasn't going to be easy, but demanded another level of awareness and commitment, consistency, and kind of wisdom, I guess, in terms of like, what does that actually mean? Yeah. And figuring it out for myself.
It's crazy. You might be the one NBA player that the coach says, it's your team now. I'm handing you the keys. And you go, most NBA players, give me that. Give me those keys. I should have had those a year ago. You're kind of like, I guess, coach. I mean, that's what you need me to do. He was good though, Mark. I know you credit him, I credit him, but what did it feel like for him? Because I always tell people one of my favorite parts of who you are is your confidence.
Yeah.
Kind of unwavering, not showy, but real, pure, legit confidence in your ability. I think that's so hard for people, no matter how successful they are, to actually have that deep in there. Like, I believe in myself in the midst of a lot. But then he comes along and takes it to another level with you and publicly compliments you in a pretty big way. And I'm sure privately did it while he was coaching you. What did that do, or how did you feel that? How did you process that? The stuff he was saying about you and...
So there's a I'm gonna try to explain it how I think and how I felt. It scared the hell out of me at first.
Really?
Because I do have like a, I call it myself a healthy insecurity of, you said I have confidence, and I do, and that's built off like my work ethic and
right.
the way I approach the game, life, and all that. You have to deserve that confidence, but I have a healthy insecurity of like understanding, like when he says me and Clay are the best shooting backcourt in the league, like I would never say that myself.
Right.
But I believe it.
Sure.
But then you're like, all right, cool. Now, how, what are you going to do about it? Like going forward, right. how are you going to prove right. that to be true? And like that insecurity is like, what's, you know, in that, what's coming next?
Yeah.
I never feel settled in that.
Sure.
Expectation
right.
or whatever
right.
the title or the you know the banner they put up
yeah.
the headline or whatever it is, it's a weird kind of dichotomy because when I'm out there in the court I feel like I can do anything, and
yeah.
I have like this irrational confidence
yeah.
of
right.
the shots I take,
can't tell.
Passes, the one-handed turnovers, and I look up
yeah.
and you and my mom,
yeah,
right.
it was great.
Shot, you know, shots you take, the way that you play, and all that, like I, you get lost in, and that's the confidence I have, but then. You know, I never kind of drink my, you know, the Kool-Aid enough to know, like, that just is going to continue to happen on its own
right.
going forward. And you have to kind of continue to prove and double down on that every single day. And that's where the healthy insecurity comes out.
Where is that? Where? So you say the healthy insecurity. Is it, where does that, I've never seen that really. Like, you don't show that much.
That's in the work that I put in, though. That I, even, like, you know, case in point, last year we won the finals MVP, all that type of stuff. Celebrated, had an amazing night, parade, all that. 3 days later, I was really thinking about, you know,
right.
when does the work start for next
yeah.
year? Because I was extremely proud of myself and proud of our team
yeah.
and proud of everything we accomplished. Then you're looking like, it's kind of, it's like the imposter syndrome almost.
Yeah.
Like, all right, what's,
yeah,
what's
I can't,
gonna happen next?
Yeah, yeah.
I started thinking about.
Yeah, am I really this next. Guy? Is that coming from you or coming from what's around you?
That's coming from me. That's
you. Like it's not because now I got to live up to something more because of the expectations of people around me. That's your own thing.
Yeah, and it might be kind of born through like just. That underdog kind of mentality.
Yeah, because you grew up.
Yeah, and like nothing was ever. I knew I had a blessed life, like my parents
yeah, sure.
played in the league. Like,
but you weren't the number one
right.
guy.
In basketball, everything I had was earned. I was a late bloomer and Davidson and all that. So that underdog mentality is always part of the DNA, no matter how much success you have. But it's hard to articulate it because
yeah.
you look at you're all the champs and all the accomplishments and all that.
But if you look at it from where you began, it makes sense. Not now. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe not
it's
now.
There's a whole continuous
yeah.
arc.
Right.
And
yeah.
I've always maintained that. So that's where, I guess, the drive comes from once, the gratitude comes from, and then also realizing like the amount of people that it takes to do what we do,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the highest
yeah.
level. Like there's
yeah.
there's awareness
yeah.
and appreciation of
yeah.
that too. No matter how big the spotlight gets.
I asked you, it was a few months ago or a year ago, I said, why don't you, because I would know, why don't you blame people more? Like why don't you, and you told me why. Because your mom said something to you.
I mean.
It's crazy you remembered, this is why I don't blame. This is a story I remember that it's my response, or it's my, that ain't gonna get me anywhere.
Yeah, it's not gonna get you anywhere. First, it sounds so cliche, but obviously you look at something and like when something goes wrong, like what can you fix first yourself?
But that, I don't think that's obvious. I mean, you think
to
that's
me,
to
yeah.
you, but why, where did that, so you said, you must have been what a certain age and were like, it's not my fault. And somebody was like, no, you gotta look there first, you know? I don't think that's automatic. It might be to you.
Yeah, you can kind of hold people accountable around you, and there's like tough conversations you gotta have. There's, you know, kind of pushing people along. Then your first immediate thought has to be like, am I doing everything in my power
sure.
to control the situation, to bring your best, you know, effort and not make it so much, you know, about the results.
Do you remember where you were when your mom said that to you? or was it not that vivid?
It's not that vivid. It was. It's just a constant reminder of the standard of just accountability to yourself. Like she, my middle school. I was in eighth grade. She helped me out in my first middle school game because I didn't do the dishes at the house, and I'm over here talking about like the impact it's gonna have on the whole. I'm the best player on the middle school team. And I'm like,
yeah, I gotta be there.
I have to be there. Like, yeah, you're gonna make.
Yeah, you're gonna. You're hurting them, right? Not, don't play. Don't hurt the team.
And she gives me that look, and I know it's falling on deaf ears. And she's like, "No, you didn't handle your business.
So it's your.
You're gonna have to go. And
don't put it on me.
Them,
yeah.
You know why you're in the situation and all that. And there was like no. There's no, you know, follow-up question. There was no, I felt it. That's one kind of story, but it's mostly like the constant reminder for me and how she raised us.
Right.
That you have to control the controllables, and most of that is what you do, and not being in a situation where you're blaming anybody else or pointing the finger elsewhere, because there's probably something that you can do first to help the situation.
It's funny, like, I don't think many AAU parents now are saying to their kids, like, you can't go to the game, you didn't mow the lawn, didn't take the trash out, best player, but that's a...
That'd be hilarious.
Where's so-and-so, the number one recruit,
Gets invited to Curry Camp in the summer, he's like, his mom calls, he can't come.
He got a B-minus math, so I told him. He'd be like, just let him come.
Yeah, just give me something.
It's funny, I kind of just said it, but I do know because... my job, you've never called me and said, what are we going to do? And everybody thinks the last 12 years, or I've been with you 12 years now, have been all perfect. And that's not, we know that's not true. I would have expected at one point or another, and not even been upset, for you to say, I think one time you might have said, what is the plan? But that's the closest you got to. Whereas a lot of other people would have been way ahead of that deal. Are you more patient because you had already had success, or is that just you? Because if there's a difference, or do you have trust, or I don't know what it is. Because you're not a good GM, by the way, anyway.
No, we can talk about that too. Yeah, I know the value that everybody brings to the organization, and me needing to do my job in that front.
I'm kidding. Yeah, you're pretty good.
No, you're
fine.
But being trusting one, and those are built on, like, obviously, you know, the reps of, you know, relationships and conversations and actions and all that, that you build trust with people that. Case in point, you, coach, your teammates, of it takes a lot for you to have to hit the panic button.
Yeah.
You know,
cause not a lot of people.
That this isn't something that just is an overnight change in what's the situation. Like, I'm pretty understanding of that and patient on that front. But I feel like, you know, you could talk about the success that's happened that maybe has, you know, built a level of, it's helped that patience you know, kind of take root, because, you know, you've tasted success, you know, what that's been like, and there's another level of confidence that you can get back there. But even when we were going through the coaching change back, and, you know, we had some tough conversations around it, we were all kind of on different sides.
Yeah.
Like, the trust part was, you know, hopefully we can get, you got to get this right.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, letting the dust settle where it was, and understanding that it's not my place to run the team.
Yeah.
Players, coach the team, do all that.
But it feels like now more than people are making that a star's place.
If the star wants it, but.
Yeah.
I also feel like, you know, that's not been a recipe for success historically. So it's just a matter of always keeping a big picture mentality of where you're going. And we've been blessed because, you know, it has worked.
Yeah,
most of the time. That's why we're all still here.
Probably mostly because of you.
That's why we're all still here.
Yeah, mostly you.
But it's also, I feel like if I do you know, if I, that call does come, you would receive it in a different
way. Yeah.
Because
I would almost make
the trust that we've built. So,
well, if it, yeah, it depends on the timing of that call. Like, was it 5 years in, 3 years in? If it came, I mean, I think even now, if anybody got to lucky enough to walk into a job where you were there, I think anybody in my position would feel a responsibility to give you every chance to succeed, right? That's the pressure I feel.
That's built on, like, your daily experience with me.
Yeah.
With, you know what I mean? That's not, like, something where I acted a certain
way. No,
I'm just saying, like, you can say that because of the culture that we have and all that and that we've built. But I trust you because we've had conversations where, you know, right, wrong, you know, whatever the decision that comes out of that, you know, I've usually rocked with and, you know, trusted that it was going to work. And usually it has. It's the experience and also the results that kind of you have to make sure you're balancing because you can't be always just results based like, oh, you've gotten every decision right. I've hated every conversation. Or vice versa. There's a balance of it both, but that's built over time and built over years and reps and the commitment to what we're doing. So I feel like that is part of what we're trying to explain in terms of, you know, why the success has happened for so
long.
And
you're the, just so we're, you're the exception to that rule. Like, a lot of people have had they don't get you, whereas you could probably work, if any GM in any sport watches this, they're kind of like, who wouldn't love to work with this? Like, that's more you. Any GM is probably going to probably do whatever you want or be nice to you or talk to you or fill you in. But your ability to hear it and say respectfully always, okay, this is what I think, but hey, you know, it's not whatever you think, I'm okay, just explain it to me. That's a rare thing for someone like you. More Lead by Example after this.
Have you been betting with the Caesars Sportsbook and Casino app? If so, keep it up because every bet earns with Caesars rewards. That means win or lose, you're getting closer to amazing perks like game tickets, free stays, bonuses, and more. And if not, well, when you get started, your first bet is on Caesars. Register with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas. Affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369.
And we're back. When the Durant came along in July, I'll never forget the text message that you sent him because him and Rich kept asking, is Steph okay? And for people who watch this, you got to understand.
Before he signed. Yeah.
It blew me away even. And because not uncommon for a star to feel like I'm not sharing this with another star. Not a crazy, and not judgmental. Like if the star is like, look, this guy's at my level. And some say more, some say less, but he's at my level. This is he's going to take away from me, which a lot of people, players may or may not say, or they certainly say privately. I've heard, hey, no, that's too much. You went way the other way because even talking to him and when after July 1st, and we were talking to him and he was trying to decide and Rich, they kept asking me that one question.
What does Steph think? What does Steph? Because you know, Draymond's a different recruiter. He is. You're a more subtle guy, and so you weren't hitting him all the time. But you sent that one message, and somebody sent it to me, and I could not believe the authenticity of it and the words you chose to use. Even me, knowing who you were, I was kind of like, wow, that is. You remember that?
I do. Everything you just explained worked because I know myself, right? I know how I could operate in that environment with somebody as great of a basketball player, great of a basketball player he is, all the off-court, you know, platform and selling shoes and all that other stuff. Like, that all mattered. But I also know myself to know, like, I can exist in a situation where I know when to get out the way, I know when to lead, I know when to speak, I know, you know, how to find value in myself every single day. And nobody was really going to threaten that part. It was just like, is this going to help us win? And am I going to enjoy playing basketball with him? Hell yeah. So like, trying to explain all that to him in that moment.
For him to trust that.
100%.
Because he didn't know. You weren't.
We played together on Team USA stuff and, you know, played against each other in AAU and all that, but never spent time where, you know. Yeah. When I sent it, I sent it as, I hope, to your point, I hope he you know, believes it, knows it's coming from an honest standpoint. And he could check with anybody around us, like, you know, is he really like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, they would give him, you know, give me that standard of validation and all that. But it always comes out, like, even like to your point, even if you know yourself and you know you can't exist there, that's not the wrong answer. It's just,
no, that's my point.
Yeah.
But you had to check. I don't know if you even had to, but a lot of people would sit for a moment and say, am I really okay with, like, I don't know if it was if you're just like, yep, you know, or you.
No, I had to take
you had to sit there and go, okay. The message, the line I remember was, whether you're MVP or I'm MVP, if it's yours, I'll be sitting there in the front row, for congratulating you. And I was kind of, I had this moment like, wow, that could actually happen. Like, Kevin could have been MVP.
Oh, he was finals MVP.
We all know he was finals MVP. He earned that. I mean, I don't know, how did you feel? Like, really, like, now that you bring it up, like, you got one now. Now you can be honest about it. Was that hard? I mean, I don't know. Like, was that, what was checking that box really for you? Did it, because you can't unhear what
all
it was shocking to me. Like,
all the
everybody,
it felt amazing only because I knew I didn't have to hear
about it. Yeah, right. But like, how powerful is that?
It was amazing.
It wasn't amazing because it was amazing. It was amazing because shut the hell up, leave me alone. Like, that is not how it should be, right?
100%.
Like, it shouldn't be because of that.
It was about us winning again first, and that's why I was crying. Yeah, that's why I was crying on the court and all that and the whole deal. But then getting that trophy, at the end, it was literally just so I didn't have. I stood up on the stage like, I know for the rest of my life. The rest of my life, I'll never have to hear.
I did. Yeah, finals. You know. But it's hard, man. Because I didn't feel when we won with Kev, I didn't feel. I'm sure as a competitor, you'd love to get finals. I didn't feel you feeling less because of that. I didn't see that. I didn't see any of that.
There was one game, 2018, game three. Like, there was conversations. You go to the media, they're asking about it. You know, you look at the stat lines and all that. It's like, oh, if they sweep them, like, who really is gonna get it, you know, Katie or Steph and all that. I've got getting asked that question in the middle of the finals. So obviously, as a human being, your mind starts to think about certain outcomes and all that. And I played like trash in game three.
Yeah. was it on your mind?
No,
it wasn't. After that, you're out of the equation.
Straight up.
Into that.
In the middle of the game, I'm like, it's the balance of knowing the standard that I need to play it for us to win. The fact that I shot it horribly, it was kind of all over the place. I made one shot to, like, towards the end of game three, and then Katie makes the big three. We go up 3-0, and it's like, we're good.
You're good.
But the finals MVP, I knew it was done after that.
Yeah, you're like,
it was like part of the emotional roller coaster ride of like, oh, that would have been cool to have kept that level of play going, because that might have got there.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was also, we won, and so you're dealing with a little bit of both of that.
Yeah.
And it's more, I think Andre had his arm around my around me on the way back through the tunnel. Like, we just won, and I was down on myself because of how I played. And everybody took it as the context.
Yeah,
like, just kicked the finals MVP thing away.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, well, I thought about it once or twice, but the real
really upset because he didn't play well.
Yeah, I played like trash.
Yeah. Typical NBA player, we won and you didn't play well and you're upset.
We see that all the time.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's just amazing to know the narratives that come around and the fact that, like, when you're in these positions that we are, they're going to continue to, you know, invent new angles to kind of pick and poke and prod and all that. But there was not many better feelings than the stage in Boston.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I would, like, I'll never have to get asked that question again.
And a lot of people
actually like, miss it.
Give it back?
No,
I'm not giving it back. Yeah, what do you got? What's now? What's the thing now? What do you got to prove? Like, what is you didn't win two? What do they got? They got to have something, right? You got to have something.
That's the beauty of being around. Like, somebody was talking about LeBron in his 20th year. It's like the fact that all year, no matter how he plays, they can use it's his 20th year as a positive or a negative in terms of, like, how you critique his game.
Yeah.
Like, anything he does great, it's like, oh my God, he's in year 20.
Yeah,
like, what is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Or if he plays like trash, like, hey, he's in his 20th year. Like, what do you expect?
You get that, though. You play 20 years.
So
the longer we're in this thing, like, you got to just, you kind of have to have a sense of humor about all the things that are said about you and then just the, the stuff that comes with this job, it is fun, though.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, it's not fun for you. I remember when when he came, it was halftime of a preseason game. After the game, he goes, I know now. And I said, what? He goes, it was a preseason game, and Steph had taken two shots, like, in the first half. He looked at the box score. And I looked over at him to see, because this was early with you guys. Mm-hmm. Was he pissed? Just not just kind of checking your body language. You know, when you guys in the locker room have to, you can see who's upset. And he goes, he acted like he shot the ball 20 times. And I was kind of like, didn't you know that that's what he would? And it wasn't like Kevin had, he wasn't judging it. He was just like, wow, you know, he is the teammate I thought he might be. So I thought that was pretty cool that I, because a lot of people go, oh, Steph really is. And I say, yeah, that's, but you can see why people are skeptical.
Oh, for sure. Know. I still hear that as a compliment.
Sure.
A lot.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, people who know me or been around and all that, and they validate, like, oh, he's a great basketball player. He's even better person.
Yeah.
And
it's like,
I appreciate that feedback. It's still weird that, you know, I guess that is the exception in terms of, you know, just how you balance, you know, success and, you know, this journey we've been on and all that. But a part of that too is, like you said, you see a lot about people just in the highs, the lows, the in-betweens. I think you talked about yesterday what we're going through now as a team, like some of the young guys.
Right.
You see how they, you know, respond to, you know, certain challenges and, you know, failures and room for growth and all that. And you see the behind the scenes guys getting extra shots up after games. You see some guys that takes them a while to kind of get out of their own way.
Right.
You see a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
That's just people, man. Like, and that's part of, you know, the ability to, I guess, you know, share who you are, share, you know, that impact with them, share, a certain perspective, a way of looking at life, looking at things that can hopefully help
you. Yeah.
Whether that's intentional or just kind of, you know, by being in the vicinity. Like, I really appreciate that ability that I've had to rub off on a lot of different people.
Yeah.
And hopefully they take a little bit of that with them. That means a lot to me, for sure.
Yeah. There's a good saying I heard where, I think you do this. I don't know what you think. You don't think you're better than anybody, but you also don't think you're worse.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is watching you move through whatever, our team, outside of it. I see you treat somebody that some would not treat as well the same. And you obviously interact with people that are allegedly more than you. And I know seems like you meet them at the same level as you would someone else. But I don't think that's common. I actually don't think that's normal. But there's a lot we talk about. I remember we were at a shoot around in Denver in the playoffs, and I said, can you walk back to the hotel? And you said, I wish I could.
Oh,
I can't.
Yes.
Right? But that makes you not
know. I need how, security to walk across this
right, but,
hallway,
but that, and you ask, and people wonder why, these guys aren't normal. It's kind of like, well, he can't walk from 5 feet. Yeah. How would you be? What would you be like then? But how do you balance that part? How do you keep that sanity or
that's the balance? That's the one struggle, because I do almost overexert on the other way.
You give more than you, you might.
And that's something I've learned, or I'm still learning over these, you know, last 5-6 years, because I never imagined this would be, you know, my reality, in the sense of, you know, you walk down the street and people know you, people want to, you know, come up to you, you feel like you're approachable. You have to be able to take that energy and do something with it. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is being around my dad when I was growing up. There are a lot of kids that I grew up with who were my friends at school or people I played with and against, coming through the ranks. My dad would come to games. He played in the league for 16 years. People knew him. Smaller scale than what I'm going through right now, but they come up to him, and based on how he interacted with them, or if he gave him the time of day or any of his teammates, I remember being in those circles and guys would talk about it and be like, oh, he's that asshole, or he, you know, looked me off, and I'd hear it. And I could tell how much it affected him. And those little interactions matter in the sense of, like, when if I see a kid or a family or whatever.
You just don't want him.
I have to find that balance of, like, especially when you can't be everything for everybody. And I know that. And it's draining that you think that you can. And especially when you're with your family, like, my job as a husband and a father is to, you know, provide an experience, a normal childhood for my kids and, you know, allow us to enjoy each other's company when we're out in public and not have to worry about all that. But there's a fine balance to that. And, and it's an interesting it's learning curve. It's a big sacrifice at times, but I guess I'm aware of it enough to know how to move. And how to make sure people feel seen in the right scenarios, but also protect my sanity at the same time.
More Lead by Example after this. And we're back. When you're done, what do you hope they, what do you hope people say about you?
There's this clip I got when I was a, I think I was a rookie or second year guy. And you do like one of those confessional type cameras. And was, I think it was at one of the All-Star games or something. They asked that same question. And I think I said, I want to be known as somebody who's a true professional, approached the game the right way, played hard every night or something, hopefully win a couple championships. And I think that was my line.
That's it.
Checked a lot of those boxes off, which is pretty cool. But continuing to live that out, get everything out of the game that I can. I did not realize how much of a agent for change I could be off the court, with, you know, the ability to speak on certain things, to, you know, partner and get to know amazing, you know, leaders and and game changers throughout society that, you know, you can help amplify their stories, provide, you know, so many resources and awareness to issues that are near and dear to your heart, or, you know, being able to speak for people that can't speak for themselves, and being very intentional about that. Never knew the power of that. And so that's something that, you know, the way that I'm trying to move off the court and the entities that I'm setting up to hopefully last, you know, longer than, you know, than the ball is bouncing on the court, to kind of continue to live that out. Cause there's a lot of good that's come out of me putting that ball in the basket.
Yeah.
And, been very appreciative of that. So I don't,
do you ever think that's, if you pull back from all of it and you go, you're the best in the world at one thing, like one thing that everybody cares. Do you ever sit there and go to bed at night and go, why do they care?
Like, all the time.
All
the time.
What do you do with that? Because it's a game but there's a lot of people that are, maybe not a lot, but some people are the best in the world at something that nobody, there's a best scientist in the world. There's a best, Like yeah. but the thing you do makes people care at a different level.
It's a good point. I haven't been able to like answer the question of why, like, my faith has a huge part in that, in answering like that perspective for me, because like the sense of gratitude that I have every time I walk off the court.
Yeah.
And you do stuff that's even beyond your wildest imaginations or beyond your wildest expectations of what you do on the court. There's like that moment that you just sit there and I look up, I'm like, wow. Like, it sounds so freaking corny, but it's literally like, that doubles down into what you do next.
Well, it's gratitude too. I mean, it is gratitude. Like,
100%.
I get to do this.
100%. And it's, you know, just the ability to understand, like you said, people care, like,
a lot.
And they care a lot. And you talk about, one of my good friends, he mentioned, like, the start of every NBA season, like whatever city it's in, or you know, professional sports in general, the start of every season, like a city has hope.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They have hope.
Yeah.
They have, you know, inspiration beyond, like, what's the story of this team that they're gonna be rooting for? Whether they get to come to games, whether they watch it on TV casually, diehards, there's hope of this could be our year.
Yeah.
And maybe that hope takes them into whatever, you know, their families, their jobs, their communities, whatever, they carry that spirit.
Yeah.
Maybe it changes a little something about, you know, their experience, their reality. Who knows,
like,
to what degree.
Yeah.
When he said that, I was like, yo, that's crazy, because we get 19,000 people to come to our stand. We got millions and millions of people to watch our games. And you're right. Like, that's why we exist.
Yeah.
And I'm living in that.
Yeah.
And it's wild to think about.
It's crazy, right?
Doesn't mean like our days are easy.
Yeah, or,
you know, the challenges that we go through are fun, but it gave me a big picture of like this. That's why it matters.
Yeah. What's your definition of a successful journey? Family, friends, professionally. Like, what would you? What are you trying to do?
What's a definition? Oh, I'd say,
because I have a definition, but. I don't know what, I want to know what yours is. I'll tell you what mine is when it probably is the same, but maybe say it differently. I don't know.
It's the ability to create something that's, I guess, bigger than yourself, in the sense of kind of what I was just talking about, but also to be as present as possible for the people in your lives.
Like,
you know, I'm not, we have crazy demands on our schedule and all that. Like, I'd love to be everywhere with my kids and my wife every single part, you know, part of the day, but that's not possible. But in terms of like creating, you know, with my family, with my team, you know, friends, just the ability of, there's something, you enjoy the experience of life.
Yeah.
Like, and to everybody, that whatever that defines happiness is different, but that you're all kind of in lockstep on what that means.
Yeah.
And it's not results based. Like, I feel like I've loved the ability to win championships and have all the amazing, you know, successes that we've had on the court. I don't think I'd be any less happy as a person.
Mm-hmm. If that hadn't happened
with the people that I have in my life in a way.
It would have been okay.
Yeah, but, you know, that we never lose that perspective.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we are all blessed just to be able to have people that love you and support you and, you know, expect the best out of you, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Those are people that you want in your life. And it's our job to protect that at all costs.
Yeah, because nobody else will.
Yeah,
same. I say it in the way of for the people that know you the best to love you the most.
You said that. I like
but that. But isn't that, because let's do Curry's 30 for 30.
Yeah.
And you interview Cannon or, you know, anybody, your friends, family, and they go, well, you know, don't have a great relationship with him anymore. Or, you know, I don't talk to my dad. You know, I've talked to him forever. That's, although in the same moment, you've got 40 million Twitter followers or Instagram. Those aren't, that's not the people that are there. But how, I think you know that, but I think that's a hard thing for people to have millions of acquaintances, but when you can't play anymore, not you, because you'll be regarded probably forever, But when it all goes away, like, who's there? And did you treat those people? Do they even want to be there? You know,
that I'm actually excited about that time frame of my life, because you also know, like, the sacrifice that have gone into you
keeping
maintaining those work, relationships, yeah, but we're work perfect, like that window of, you know, these last 14 years. There's a lot of sacrifices that come with that too on the personal side. But to your point, like, you have your unit, you can double down on those relationships. And not saying you're making up for lost time, but, you know, when basketball's not around and whatever comes next in the next chapter of life, I'm really excited about what that looks like. You know, for my immediate family, you know, for the people that have been by my side since day one, the people that I've met along the way, that we have, you know, we're value aligned, and there's a two-way kind of relationship there. Like, I'm so excited about what that part of it looks like. Because you also understand the obsession of being a great basketball player requires a lot.
You
requires a lot on the day. And there's a lot of things that you do miss out on, you know, along the way. And that's part of the sacrifice, but it's also, for me, something I'm really looking forward to down the road, to know, you know, how much those personal relationships matter and that you can grow for a lifetime over.
Yeah, because the obsession has to be, to do what you do, you have to be obsessed. And hopefully it's a fun obsession.
Absolutely.
But you can't be so obsessed that when it's over, there's nothing left. And so you have to figure that out as somebody like you, where you go, I can't not water this plant at home, because I can't let it dry up, you know, because I can't be done and go, here's some, pour some water and try to drench the thing, it's dead. It's like, it's over. But that's got to be a challenge to kind of figure that out, you know, so.
It didn't get any easier, but it's worthwhile.
What do you, the family, this is the last question. What do you hope, I mean, I know you care about your wife, your children, like that part of your life. Like, what do you, if you could hope something for the kids to learn from you, from what you've done, because they're going to hear about, you're a little different. They're going to hear about other people's ideas about you, but they're, nothing's going to be more powerful than their idea of you. What do you hope that you have given them? Just like you said, your mom and dad, what they gave you, what do you hope to show them, say to them?
Just this vision that, and the belief, not the vision for themselves and inspiration for themselves, but a belief that they're enough, like, as who they are, who they've been created and made to be. As you grow older, you realize even your parents don't always have it all the way together. Yeah. They're doing everything they can to create that, you know, environment for you. And our job as parents is to hopefully instill that in our kids, that, you know, they are enough, they are perfect the way they are, and we have, you know, just this belief that they can, and hope that they can find something that they're as passionate about as I have been about basketball, and that they know that we're going to be there to support them every single step of the way, and there's no pressures or expectations on in them being anything other than who they are. Because I am a little fearful about, you know, this generation, this world, in terms of, like, how we grew up. And you could protect that a little bit easier than today because of the noise and distractions that they have. It's tough to keep hold of that. So I just want them to, to find peace in who they are because, you know, that's part of the narratives that we were talking about. Everybody's going to be kind of, you know, point out who you're not and what you're not,
what
and
you're
all that.
To be.
And I know that's going to be tough based on the comparisons and the shadow that I've, you know, me and Aisha cast on that. So that's the goal. That's the mission. That's what I've longed for them, because I know there'll be challenges for sure. But I can already see in the 10-7-4 right now, they're all, you know, have such unique personalities and a zest for life. I want them to hold on to that.
Yeah. Good luck, man. Thank you.
100%.
Appreciate it.